Please rise and hear again the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the gospel of the Lord, and this is our text. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. In this nation, we live under a representative democracy, which means that we elect officials to exercise authority by passing laws, administering the laws passed, and interpreting the laws. The authority of the executive and the legislative branches of our democratic government is appropriately monitored by the judicial branch and, of course, by the electorate. That does not mean that from time to time authority is not poorly used or abused. That can happen in the home, can happen in the classroom, in the sports arena, in the boardroom, and many other places. Quite often, people bristle over the word authority. I think we would all be in agreement that there is a need to have someone in charge, someone who is given or who takes command and exercises authority. Sinful women and men want to take authority to themselves, and that very often do not like to have others exercise authority over them. So when you mention the word authority, it is likely that you really need to qualify what you actually mean. Depending on the hearer, that word may bring a negative reaction or response. I think we may all know situations where those in authority over us have not exercised that authority properly. And maybe we have been involved in situations where we ourselves took authority and failed to use it in a positive way for the good of others. Ultimately, our news services are full of stories that confirm that reality. And history books are full of examples where people have abused the power that they have either been given or the power that they have assumed or taken by whatever means possible. There are examples of dictators who have ruled with iron fist and have left in their wake innocent people they have destroyed as they have abused the power that they have taken to themselves or been given. Maybe you've had a supervisor who has been oppressive, or you know someone who has been an abusive spouse or parent. In those settings, an authority is a ruler who uses you or someone else for his or her own advantage, their gain. These things begin in backyard pickup games, on the playground at school, or on church councils, and many other places where people of any age pursue power and authority. At the same time, there are good authorities, those who use the authority given to them for the benefit of others instead of for themselves. So they really are in authority, but they're servants, and so they rule as such. We know there is a need for this authority, and those who exercise that authority for the welfare of others, ourselves included. This is necessary for order in our society, as it is for order in our homes, order in our schools, workplaces, and even in the body of Christ, the church. Not only are there good and gracious leaders, but there are good parents, good spouses, good teachers and employers who develop trust in the people for whom they have been made overseers, given authority. Jesus exercised good authority. Like other good authority figures, Jesus didn't seek authority. It was given to him. We might see him as the ultimate authority because he is God in the flesh for us. If you will remember his words to his disciples at his ascension, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." This is the way he began the Great Commission, when he told his disciples to make disciples by baptizing and by teaching. Yet in what we call his state of humiliation, Jesus passively submitted himself to the will of the Father, using his Father's authority for the good, actually for the very good, for the deliverance and the salvation of all mankind, and at times even hiding that authority within his human nature so that he could save us from our sin. In today's gospel reading, which serves as our text, Jesus shows his active work toward that salvation. We see his authority in action. It is shown in his teaching and in his power over the forces of evil as he is confronted by the evil one in the synagogue at Capernaum. So what was so special about Jesus' teaching? Well, at the Capernaum synagogue, those in attendance were amazed with his teaching. He taught as one who had authority, not like the teaching they had been used to from the scribes and from the Pharisees. The scribes were quick to cite high-sounding rabbinic names. They used these remote authorities to give their words and therefore give themselves more credence or more power. But in fact, they were not interested in creeds at all, but deeds. They were only interested in the endless duties of following the law. From the general law of the Torah, they extracted rules and regulations for almost any situation, and they saddled the people with all those rules and regulations. Generation after generation of scribes passed down this oral law, which was committed to memory. Since they were the experts of this unwritten code, they were also the ones passing judgment on individual cases. There were no checks, no balances. There were prescribed ordinances that were laid upon the people in order that they might produce a righteousness of their own doing, a righteousness that comes by keeping the law. And we understand that we cannot keep the law perfectly and that we cannot produce a righteousness of our own doing that is God-pleasing. Here we see the difference that was noted by those who heard the teaching of Jesus. While the scribes were extracting and deducing, being quick to quote, in other words, Jesus was actually cutting to the quick, as he did in last week's gospel, preaching repentance and faith, the full counsel of God, law, and gospel. Jesus simply told them how it is, on no less authority than God himself. And so what a startling contrast this teaching of Jesus was for the people of his day. The difference was so great that our text says the people were amazed. Literally in the original language, they were dumbfounded by what they were hearing Jesus teach them. This refers first to the content of his teaching, to what Jesus taught. He wasn't preaching about endless circumstances for choosing the right behavior, but he was preaching sin and grace, what sin is and our need to repent and turn away and then to turn to God's boundless mercy and grace. His message wasn't what should I do, but rather what has God done and what is God doing for me because of what I have done and what I have left undone. This was not some new teaching that was all the rage in Capernaum, but a dusting off or an uncovering once again of a timeless teaching. This was how God chose to deal with his people all throughout their history. It was a teaching that man is not capable of keeping God's law. It was a teaching that through the coming and the work of the Messiah, the Holy One of God, forgiveness of sins would be won for helpless men and women. Christianity would need to be about Christ, not about the Christian, but about the Christ and what he came to do for us and for our salvation. It was also the manner in which Jesus taught. There was no gap, no seam between the message and the messenger. When Jesus taught, he was presenting simultaneously the person and the work of himself. The Son taught directly the message and intent of the Father, and he did so by the authority that the Father had given him. Unfortunately, this refreshing message of good news is not always received with joy and amazement, is it? Often we see, even in very different settings, the rejection of this good news, this gospel proclamation. Long ago, there was one who had everything, but everything didn't seem to be enough, and he rebelled against the one who had given him everything. Put together an army, an evil army, so that a proper war could be fought. Scripture tells us of this one's fall out of heaven, and the scriptures also, our text for today included, tell us how this army continues to war against mankind. Many people today question the reality of demons. They attribute the biblical claims to a less educated, to a more primitive, superstitious age and time. They say that those who make such claims haven't learned from the advances of technology or the medical sciences for that matter. But to discount the reality of demon possession has serious ramifications, since Jesus, speaking to such afflicted people, did indeed address demons. To deny demon possession could only mean one of two things. Either Jesus was ignorant of the true origin of the afflictions, or he was acting out a lie. He was not being the true teacher, the true prophet, the true Holy One of God, the Messiah. Either option places Jesus outside the bounds of his divine nature, who he was and who he is, the very Holy One of God. In our text, we see the tenacity and the brashness of the evil one as he barges into the setting where Jesus is teaching, acting as if he owns the place. And immediately, as our text tells us, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." All throughout the Gospels, we see these evil spirits, these representatives of the evil one, and they all know who Jesus is. Even if the people that Jesus was visiting with, teaching, addressing, whether they knew that or not, the evil spirits knew. These evil spirits certainly recognize his authority regardless of whether they want to be subjected to it or not. And Jesus didn't allow this to go any further in that setting. "Be quiet. Come out of him," he said. We are told that the evil spirit violently shook the man and came out of him with a shriek. The people were amazed at Jesus' authority. He even put Satan and his angels in their place. And in doing so, Jesus reminded them that they never had, nor will they ever have, ultimate authority. For Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is the Holy One of God. Jesus Christ is the good authority. When Jesus speaks, evil flees. When Jesus speaks, people marvel at his authority. When Jesus speaks, faith is created. Forgiveness is granted. Salvation is assured. heaven is opened. Jesus was given that authority from the Father for the sake of giving to you and to me the holiness that he demands of us, but that we cannot offer to him apart from the active work of Jesus on our behalf. And Jesus hid his authority and went to the cross and laid down his life so that his teaching and his work would be validated by his resurrection. Jesus is indeed the Holy One of God, who came to destroy the work of the evil one, and by whose authority we have salvation, full and free. And that is truly amazing. Amen. May this peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, may it guard our hearts and guard our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Please rise.